I have this word in my heart called wait. Everybody say wait is waiting. Say it again. Wait is waiting. I don't know, oh God, he's going to talk about weightlifting. I promise I'm not going to talk about weightlifting today really at all. So relax. Who said yay? Anyway, let's go. I want to read a few scriptures here to set this up. I want to read a few of these off the screen because I don't feel like flipping through my Bible for him. Just give me the start there. Exodus chapter 40, verse 19. It says, listen, here's the deal. When you see that phrase, just as the Lord had commanded, I want you to, everybody in the room, to say, wait is waiting, okay? We're going to read a few verses here, starting all throughout Exodus chapter 40. It says, then he spread the coverings over the tabernacle framework and put on the protective layers, just as the Lord had commanded him. There you go. He took the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant and placed them inside the ark. Then he attached the carrying poles to the ark and he set the ark's cover, the place of atonement, on top of it. Then he brought the ark of the covenant into the tabernacle and hung the inner curtain to shield it from the view, just as the Lord had commanded him. Next, Moses placed the table in the tabernacle along the north side of the holy place, just outside the inner curtain, and he arranged the bread of the presence on the table before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded him. Stay with me. He set the Lord, where's got too many verses up there. I didn't want to read that many. Verse 27. Verse 27, on it he burned the fragrant incense just as the Lord had commanded him. Verse 29, he placed the altar of burnt offering near the tabernacle entrance. On it he offered a burnt offering and a grain offering just as the Lord had commanded him. Verse 32, at the bottom there, whenever they approached the altar and entered the tabernacle, they washed themselves just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Wait is waiting. In verse 33 and 34, it says, then he hung the curtains forming the courtyard around the tabernacle and the altar, and he set up the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard. So at last, Moses finished the work. In verse 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud covered the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Wait is waiting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence in this place this morning. God, I ask you to speak to us personally, intimately, and also, God, on a group level. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us corporately, Father. I pray that your word would just be a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path, God, and speak to us exactly what you want us to hear this morning in Jesus' name. In fact, everybody put your hand on your belly. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. I hate cutting the grass. I hate really yard work of any kind. That's just not my thing. Like my house on the block, my house in the neighborhood, man, it is never going to be that house that has the really nice landscape. Like it's not going to have the rock and the mulch and the stuff around the trees. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to cut the grass, I'm going to weed eat, and that's pretty much about it. Luann's shaking her head thinking, hey, one day we're going to get there. No, we're not. It's not going to happen. Yeah, one day. Okay, one day it'll happen, right? Listen, we've got a the house that we moved in, bought a few years ago, the previous owners had a garden. I'm sure they were awesome at it, and it's that garden has now just been a garden of weeds. Every year we say, you know what, let's till that up and let's plant a garden. And every year we have wonderful feelings about ourselves as we just discuss doing it, and it never happens. In fact, we were somewhere, Michael Taylor was with me the other day, and there's a gentleman that I see in town, and he always talks about my blackberry bush, and he's like, what are you going to do with that big patch of weeds out there? And I told Michael the other day, I said, let me tell you something, if that old man opens his mouth one time tonight about this blackberry bush, I tell you right now, I'm going to deck him. I'm tired of hearing about it. You know what I mean? He's talked about the blackberry bush again. I was fine. It was okay. I didn't deck him. It was all good. But this is what I'm saying. I hate doing that stuff. It's just not my thing, right? I'm going to do the bare minimum. I hate it. There is one moment in my life when I like cutting the grass, and it is that 30 seconds to 10 minutes after it's done, and I put the lawnmower away, and I stand like a proud father over my yard, and I just look at that thinking, man, that is a beautiful sight to see. How many men have ever thought that after you get done cutting the grass? Am I the only one? Like, I'll be honest, I have exactly had this thought. This has for sure been me after I cut the grass, after I get the job finished. And you might have another thing that you don't like doing, but once it's finished, you feel really great about it, and you stare at it like Mr. Perfect there, and you feel great about it. And I wonder if that's not somehow genetically encoded into our DNA from moments like this that trace their history back, way back in Scripture in the Old Testament, to where Moses finishes the work and the glory of God shows up and blesses the work that Moses had finished. And let me just set this up for you, because this is the Old Testament. So when we look at the Old Testament, we've got to understand, many people get confused and they have weird thoughts about God and about Jesus because of these crazy Old Testament stories and wild Old Testament laws and weird things that happened in thousands of years ago. And there, I could go into a lot, I'm not going to do that today, but we could discuss at some time what was going on back then and why it was a different situation. But here's none of that really matters for our lives with Jesus today. Here's what we need to know about the Old Testament. Because listen, the Bible says that Jesus declared, I have fulfilled all of the law. All of the laws in the Old Testament I have taken care of. Amen, somebody. So the Old Testament, however, we can also don't want to go too far and just throw out the Old Testament and say, well, we don't need any of it. Listen, here's the deal. The Old Testament serves as a shadow of what Jesus revealed in the New Testament. Amen, somebody? Everything in the Old Testament pointed and was there to set up Jesus and to show us Jesus. And today the Old Testament doesn't serve to give us a bunch of laws and rules and regulations. What it does do is show us the principles of how God works, how God's mind works, how God's personality works, and the overall spirit of what God wants to do in the lives of his people. Amen? And this is what the tabernacle shows us. Now, this is Moses leading the people of Israel. They've come out of Egypt. They haven't entered into the promised land yet. And in between Egypt and the promised land, they were basically this ragtag group of rabble rousers that God said, listen, you're going to be my people. And he said, as you set up camp, he said, when you set up your camp, wherever I lead you to go, he said, I want you to take with you this thing that we're going to call the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle simply means in the Hebrew language, which the Old Testament is written in, simply means a residence, simply means a place to dwell. So what God was saying, and if you look at the, if you break down Exodus and Leviticus, where God was very specific about how he wanted the tribes of Israel to lay out and to set up their camp whenever they were traveling through the wilderness for 40 years. If you were to draw a picture of it and see an overhead view, what you would see is that God commanded the people to place the tabernacle right in the middle of the camp, right in the heart of where everybody was. So what God basically was saying through that is, I want to be right in the middle of everything you're building. Everywhere you go, everything you do, whatever you build, whatever you're about, listen, he said, make room for my presence. Make room for me in the middle, right in the midst of everything that you're doing. And so that's what Moses does. Moses builds the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40. Goes through the final steps, the final process of Moses putting together all the elements and all the things just the way that God had said to do. And it's real, real, you got to understand this. Listen, they are in the desert. Amen, somebody? They're in a dry place. They have been freed from Egypt, but they are not yet in their promise. Anybody ever felt like that in your walk with God? You know you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. You know that God has moved in your life and set you free from sin and forgiven you and you're not what you used to be. But man, you know you feel like sometimes you're still a long way off from the vision and the plan. And you feel like God's put in your heart. You're somewhere in between. Amen? Somewhere in between Egypt and the promise. Somewhere in between forgiveness and the promised land. Watch this. Somewhere in between Egypt, freedom from bondage, and entering into your purpose and what God freed you for, somewhere in between there comes a time where I've got to make room for the presence of God in my life. Amen. Between forgiveness and purpose, listen, God wants to establish his presence. So God leads them out of Egypt, brings them into the desert, and before they go into the promised land, which would take place years later, decades later, God says, in the middle of the desert while we're waiting, let's make room. I want you to establish room, push everything aside, and establish a place for my presence right in the middle of everything that you do. And this is what we want to take away from that. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. Everything in my life as a son of God, everything in your life as a son and a daughter and a child of God, if you are following Jesus, listen to me, everything we do should be built around the presence of Jesus. Everything that I build should have room in the middle of it for the presence of God. Everything that I do should be done with an attitude of where is God in the midst of this? What does God want to do? Where is God's presence in the middle of this? And listen to me. There are two things here that are going to be necessary if I want to build my life around the presence of God. Okay? The first thing we see is this. The first thing is this. It's obedience. Everybody say obedience. The reason I read all those verses is because I wanted you to see that the Bible says that throughout this process, as Moses is building a place and making room for the presence of God, making room, listen, for the glory of God. And let me just talk about that. I'm going to talk about the glory of God a little bit, but let me just so you understand what I'm saying here. We know that God, we should know, if you don't, this should be maybe this is information, but we probably can all agree. We understand this. We know that God is everywhere. Amen. Amen? If you didn't, you need to know that. Part of God's very nature, his character, is that he is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. That's what makes him God. Amen, somebody? So he is right there with you, sitting next to you. He is in this room. He's right there with you in your doctor's office when you get a bad report. He's right there with you when you answer the phone and somebody's calling you, telling you how jacked up their life is. He's right there with you when you lose that position at work. He's right there with you when you get, he's there. He's everywhere. But when we're talking about this type of presence of God, I want to go beyond knowing God is everywhere simply because his word says it. And sometimes that's all we go through seasons. That's what the desert is. We go through moments that we just have to believe it. Amen. But thank God there are moments, like maybe just happened for some of us in worship just a few moments ago, where we move beyond knowing that God's there because he said he's there and his word declares it and we believe his word by faith. But where we sense his presence. Amen, somebody. Where we feel the breath of God breathing life into our lungs, where we feel something from another world in our midst, and we know God is there. That's the type of thing that I want to build my life around. Amen? God, listen, I believe this wholeheartedly. God does not want his people, and he certainly doesn't want his church. He does not want us going through all of our days just by faith, having to believe that he's there because the word of God said he's there. He wants to make himself known to us. Amen. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to show himself to you. He wants me to experience him and know him. Okay? But in order to do that, I'm going to have to make room, make a tabernacle. And what makes a tabernacle? Obedience and finishing. Let's talk about obedience for a second. Six different times all throughout that chapter. And I could take you through the entire last part of Exodus where time after time after time again, that phrase, just as the Lord commanded him, just as the Lord commanded him, repeats itself over and over and over and over again as if to say, listen, if I want to make room for the presence of God in my life, I am going to have to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to have to be obedient to the word of God when it speaks. Amen? Let me say this. Listen. If you want the presence of God in your life, if you want to have a life that has God at the center of it, of everything that you build and everything that you do, listen to me close. Obedience is non-negotiable. Amen, somebody? Obedience to the Holy Spirit, obedience to the voice of Jesus is non-negotiable. Now listen, I'll tell you this right now. You can have religion and not have obedience. Come on, somebody. You can go through the motions. You can sing the songs. You can read the words. You can show where you're supposed to show up, and you can even do what you're supposed to do. Listen, doing some good things, doing a lot of good things does not necessarily mean that I'm being obedient to the voice of God in my life. If I show up to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and does the Word of God tell me I should be in church? Absolutely. Should we gather together and worship together as the body of believers and the saints? Of course, that's what the Bible says. Okay, we know that. But listen, I can show up to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and God can continue to speak to me. And He might be saying, serve in this area, or surrender this part of your life to me, or answer this altar call, or lift your hands up during this song, or worship, or whatever. Listen, I get nervous trying to get specific because I don't want you to think because I didn't say your thing that you're off the hook. I don't know what God might be speaking to you. What I'm saying is when the Holy Spirit speaks and when I sense God speaking or when the Word of God comes forth and it convicts me and it cuts my heart and sometimes, listen to me, sometimes you need to understand and begin to understand the voice of God. Sometimes the voice of God, when it's coming through the Word or maybe coming through me or coming through a preacher of the gospel, listen, sometimes it feels like offense. Sometimes it feels like getting ticked off. Can you hear somebody? But if I continually ignore that, push that away, build a wall up around that, or run from that, guess what? I can have religion. I can do the stuff that I know I'm supposed to do and still not be obedient. Amen, somebody? I'm not talking about just doing the basic, going through the motions of the basic tenets of some religion. I'm talking about being obedient to the voice of God. Where if the Holy Spirit says, go to the altar, I'm going to the altar. Where if the Holy Spirit says, pray for that person, I'm praying for that person. Come on, somebody. Where if the Holy Spirit says, do this, do that, I'm moving and doing that. That's obedience to the Holy Spirit. And I will never know and experience the glory of God until I live an obedient and surrendered life. Not perfection. That's unattainable until we get to heaven. But obedient. Obedient. Amen, somebody? Obedience is non-negotiable. I can have religion and not obedience. Hey, I'll tell you this. You can probably build and live a pretty good life apart from the presence and glory of God and never give a thing to it and enjoy life. That is probably possible. It's not really going to be possible if you're really a son or a daughter of God because there will always be a part of you that knows there's more and that you're not fulfilling your God-given purpose and destiny. But if you're not interested in that, you can probably live a good life far from God. But you'll never have the glory. You'll never know the presence of God without obedience. Amen, somebody? Obedience is non-negotiable. I cannot have the glory of God. I cannot have God's manifest presence where it says He comes and fills the room. He fills the moment. That will not happen without obedience first. Just as the Lord commanded. Man, I want to encourage you right now. Let me just take a second and encourage you right now in this moment. If there's some stuff the Lord is dealing with you about, if there's some stuff the Lord has been speaking to you about, man, I cannot encourage you enough to just do it. Whatever it is, whether it's something in a church building, whether it's something in your home, whether it's something in your business, man, if you have something that you feel like God will keep speaking to you and won't leave you alone about, man, do it. Do it, do it, do it. And do it as quickly as possible. There is something to be said for instant obedience, man. Amen? Often, the longer I wait to obey and to surrender, the harder it becomes to finally do it. Because the longer I'm waiting, the more it's building up, man. Just do it. Is it going to feel weird? Absolutely. Are you going to hear angels singing from heaven and feel a voice of God saying, I am pleased with you, my son, and sense this great overwhelming joy? Probably not. Amen? Let me give you some examples from my... Listen, there's been moments in my life... where I might have gotten an unexpected blessing or I do the budget and we figure out the bills and somehow miraculously there's more available than I was prepared for or ready for. And I'm like, all right, man, what can we do? And all of a sudden sometimes, there's been many times where the Lord will say, give extra. Give to that thing. Hey, I'll tell you this. There's been many times where I didn't have extra, and God said, give anyway, trust me. Amen? Either way, listen. When I drop the extra and am obedient to the Holy Spirit in the area of giving, do you think that supernaturally somehow I just feel wonderful about that moment? No, not often. I'm like, oh, okay, God, this hurts a little bit. Man, I could do some other stuff with this, but I'm going to be obedient anyway. Amen? God's been dealing with you about maybe inviting a neighbor to church, or maybe somebody's telling you a situation like they're really struggling with, and you feel an awakening in your heart that says, pray for them. I would love to tell you that when you're obedient, you're going to just feel wonderful, and that the words are just going to flow, and you're going to sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit just come over you and wash over you, and that person is going to fall on the floor and weep and cry. And it's going to, now that might happen, but it's probably not. It's probably not. You might stumble for the words. You might start to pray for somebody and go, like Porky Pig. It really might happen, okay? Doesn't matter. Be obedient anyway. And watch as you begin to step out. Listen, here's the thing. As you begin to step out and practice obedience to the Holy Spirit, obedience to what God is speaking to you, it gets easier and easier and easier. And the more you obey, the more you'll find the Holy Spirit flowing through your life in those areas. Amen, somebody? Be obedient. Just as the Lord commanded. Okay? The second thing is this. Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded, was obedient. And then it says, finally, he finished the work. And I don't think this can be overstated. I don't think this is an accident. Listen, it wasn't until Moses finished the work that the glory of God filled the tabernacle. Amen? It wasn't until Moses completed the job and did everything that God had told him to do, then the glory showed up. Now listen, the work that God has for you and me to do could be absolutely anything. I don't know what the work is that God has called you to individually, but I do know this, that God has a work in your life that he wants you to do and that he wants to do through you. Amen, somebody? Amen? And listen, I don't know what the work might be. The work might be growing to a point of maturity. The work might be letting go of some issues of your past. The work might be surrendering some areas of your life. The work might be letting forgiveness flow in your life. The work might be learning some things in the Word and being disciplined in the Word of God. The work could be all sorts of things that it might be. The work might be becoming the father and the husband that the Word of God has called you to be. The work might be becoming the wife and the mother. I don't know what the work is. Listen, whatever the work is, though, finish it. Do it. I want to be a finisher. Amen, somebody? I don't want to leave a bunch of stuff half done. I want to boldly finish everything that God has put in my hands to do. And the pattern that we see here from the tabernacle is that when I'm obedient and when I'm a finisher, the glory of God shows up. Amen? Let me take us back to this point again. Remember, this is taking place in the middle of the desert. The children of Israel are living like nomads. They're basically homeless. They're a group of homeless slaves for 430 years. They had been subject to the pharaohs of Egypt. They were a ragtag army. They didn't have a home. They were camp. They were nomads. And this went on, listen, for 40 years they went through the wilderness in this. They lived in this. There was a 40-year gap between when God set them free and God brought them into the promise that they lived in the desert. Amen? So listen, let me just encourage somebody. If you've been in a desert that feels like it's been a lengthy season, you've been saved and set free and loving Jesus for a long time, but man, you're just in the middle. You know you have not entered in to what God has called you to do. There's still so many promises left undone, so many things you still believe in God for, and you're feeling like you're in a dry desert where there's no water, no food, and man, you're wondering what's going on and just feel like you're wandering through life. Listen to me. God is there with you in the desert. Amen. And my desert, watch this, my desert can be invaded with the glory of God when I obediently finish what he has called me to do. When I'm obedient in the desert, when I'm a finisher, even in the desert, then even that desert becomes a place for the glory of God to show up in my life. Amen, somebody? Don't wait. Finish the work. And this is the question. This is the question we're going to ask. And I'm almost done. This question I want to put in our hearts and what I feel like the Lord wants to put in our spirits this week. And it's this. What weight is waiting on you and I to finish? What weight is waiting? What are you talking about? When the Old Testament here says that the glory of God filled the tabernacle, that Hebrew word, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, New Testament is written in Greek. Sometimes it's important to go back and look at those original languages, some of those original words, because it has different nuances that we don't quite necessarily understand or we might miss or skip over. That particular word for the word glory, you see this all throughout the Old Testament. It's pretty much the same word all throughout the Old Testament in Hebrew. Is the Hebrew word kabod. The Hebrew word kabod, when it says the glory of God fills the temple, it's the word kabod. When it says the glory of the Lord fills the earth, it's the word kabod. Here when it says the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, it is the word kabod. And a better translation of that word in the literal Hebrew language is not glory, it is weightiness or heaviness. This is why some moments when someone is overwhelmed by the presence of God and God reveals himself and God's presence moves in someone's heart, this is why sometimes people fall over and people feel a need to bend over or kneel down or lie on their face. Why? Because when the glory of God, when the presence of God gets on your life and it's you can feel it and sense it, there is a heaviness that can sometimes be on your life. Amen? A moment can be filled with weightiness as the glory of God moves in. Amen, somebody? That's why some people might fall over when they get prayed for. Why? Because as the presence of God touches them, man, our bodies, our physical bodies can't handle the weight of God's glory, even for just a brief second. Amen, somebody? It's heavy. It's weightiness. One of the things that marked Jesus and set Jesus apart. In fact, one of the first things they said about him in Luke chapter 3 and 4, when he shows up after 40 days in the wilderness, there you go. He shows up in the wilderness and the glory of God got on his life after he was obedient and denied the Satan's temptations. Guess what? A glory was on his life. What happens? The Bible says that he goes back to the tabernacle after 40 days in the wilderness. Opens up the scroll, reads Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The Bible says he teaches for a little bit. And what did the people say about him? The people said, we don't know this guy, but he teaches like he knows something that the rest of the people we've heard don't know. He said he teaches with an authority. What were they saying? They're saying, man, his words have a weight on them that we haven't heard anywhere else. Why? Because the glory of God was on him. The presence of God was on his life. Amen? Let me tell you something. I believe that God wants you and me. God wants this house, this church. I believe he wants every church, but I'm only responsible for this one. He wants us to be people of weight. Yes, amen. He desires to have a place and to have a people that he can trust with his weight, with the weight of his glory, with the weight of his presence. Why is that so key? It's key because it is the glory of God and the presence of God that gets anything done on the earth. It is the presence of God that brings healing to the sick. It is the presence of God that brings restoration to the broken. It is the presence of God that brings freedom to the bound. It is the presence of God. Amen? And I want to walk and carry the weight of his glory, the way that he's called me to. But here's the thing. is their weight waiting on me to finish. Because here's the reality. If I can't be trusted to finish the work, I can't be trusted to hold the weight. If I can't be trusted to obediently finish the work, I can't be trusted to hold the weight. If God has been dealing with me for years, months, weeks, time on end, and he will be patient. He is a patient and a good and a loving God and a good father, and he is patient about it, about things because of his mercy and grace. Amen? But listen, at some point as a believer, at some point as a follower of Jesus, I need to get dissatisfied with just living my life according and thankful for his mercy. I want to start living according to his weight. At some point, I need to get dissatisfied saying, well, his mercy is good enough for me, and it is, and it's bigger than anything that I could ever do to disgrace it. But listen, at some point, as a son and a daughter of God, as a follower of Jesus, I am not satisfied just going, well, his mercy is good enough. Man, I'm reading some stuff in here going, man, I want to see the dead raised. I want to see blind eyes open. I want to see deaf ears open. I want to see the things that Jesus said we could have, we could do, we could be for his glory and for his kingdom. Amen, somebody? I want to see broken hearts healed. I want to see families restored. I want to see marriages restored. Amen, somebody? And listen, if all I am is satisfied with his mercy and grace, and I'm never getting to a place of growth where I can handle the weight, then I'm going to be missing out. Amen. Amen, somebody? If I can't be trusted to finish the work, I can't be trusted to hold the weight. There's a reason why we don't give car keys to five-year-olds. Amen? To be honest, I'm not sure why we give car keys to 16-year-olds. I'll be honest, I don't know why we give car keys to 21-year-olds. Sometimes I'm driving and I don't even know why I have car keys. And everyone riding, see, those amens were just mean. That was unnecessary. You don't give a loaded gun to a 3-year-old. It's not until somebody's proven that they can handle the next thing that the next thing should be given. And God operates in this principle. Amen, somebody? And I just believe this right now. I want you to hear me, Redemption Life Church. And if you're here, whether you're at home right now, you're in the building, I want you to listen to me. God has weight waiting for us. We have not yet begun to carry the weight that God has called this house to carry for Brookville, for Franklin County, and for southeastern Indiana and beyond. There is a weight that I believe is waiting that God wants us to carry. Let's get ready for it. Amen, somebody? How do we get ready? I'm going to obey, and I'm going to finish. Stand all over this place. I'm going to obey, and I'm going to finish. Now, today, right now, you can start your finish. You can start your finish today. Here's how to start your finish right now, and it's this. The start of your finish begins with the start of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I know the bulk of what we talked about today was probably geared, and I was talking a lot to people that already know Jesus and that somewhere have a heart for God. But listen, if you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus, you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you have never bent your knee, whether figuratively or physically, doesn't matter. You have never surrendered your heart to the work that Jesus performed and accomplished for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. That is the start to your finish. That is the start to you finishing what God wants to do in your life. And you can do that this morning, right now. Well, listen, I'm not a church person. Hey, I often feel the same way. Nobody is normally as surprised that they're a preacher than I am, as myself. Amen, somebody? Oh, I'm not a very religious person. Man, join the club. Me neither. Well, I got a lot of stuff in my past and a lot of history. Hey, who doesn't? Yeah, but I mean, I've been messing up like recently, like last week. Yeah, me too. And not only me, but probably every son and daughter of God in this room. See, there's this false idea that church is full of a bunch of perfect people. It's not. We're a bunch of imperfect, broken people who have found the mercy and grace of God. And we just want you to find that too. It's literally the main reason that we're here, is for you to find that too. No matter how far, no matter how much you've run away, no matter how many times you've messed up, no matter how many issues you've got. Now listen, you can't say yes to Jesus and think that all of your problems are going to be fixed. Okay? In just a moment, I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment if the Lord is speaking to you and this is your day to make a decision and to come into right relationship with God and receive His sacrifice on the cross. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We're going to pray together. Now listen, you pray that prayer. You raise your hand, pray that prayer. Listen, if you left a sink full of dirty dishes in your house before you came here this morning, I promise you, you're still going to have a sink full of dirty dishes when you get home. Okay? We're not going to pray a prayer and all of our filth and all of our issues are just going to be somehow magically taken care of. But what will happen is that you're going to have one walking alongside you, living inside of your heart, filling up your life, leading you every step of the way, and showing you how to manage those issues and get those under the cross. If you'll listen and obey. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this is a moment between you and the Lord. I'm not going to call you down front. There will be people available or down front to talk if you need to or need prayer when we're done here this morning. If you want to do that somewhere on your own, you have some questions, you can go to redlifechurch.com right in the middle of the page. There's a big tag you can't miss. It says you saying yes to Jesus. And there's an explainer right there that'll walk you through all the steps, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be saved, what happens when we pray the prayer that we're about to pray. And you can ask questions right there. You can do it all right there, or we can do it right here. But right now in this moment, forget about who's around you. Don't miss heaven and don't miss God's plan for your life because you're worried about what anybody else around you thinks. If you're in this place this morning and you are away from Jesus, maybe you used to come to church. Maybe you used to know God. Maybe as a little boy or a child or a teenager, whenever you said yes to Christ. But man, life has happened, situations have happened, and you are as far away from God now as you ever were before then. Listen, or maybe you have never had a real relationship with Jesus. Wherever you fall in this, I want you to know right now, you can come home right now. You can say yes right now. You can be received. You can be accepted by Jesus. Will He really accept me? Absolutely. Friend, He died on the cross, gave His life, shed His blood, rose from the dead 3 days later, and right now the Bible says He is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and His arms are open wide, and He is ready to welcome you home. Right now, if that's for you, if that's where you are, you say, man, I need to make that step today. I need to start my finish today, my beginning relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to count to three or five or anything else. Will you just right now, raise your hand right now over this room. If you're online, drop a raised hand emoji in the comments or say, yes, I'm praying that prayer. I want you to raise your hand right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to pray. I want every one of us to pray. If you're at home with us right now, or even some of the time throughout the week, whenever you're having your moment, and this is for you, I want you to pray this. I want everyone that's hearing this to pray this out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now. just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And so I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins. Help me to follow you with my whole heart from this moment on. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for making me your child. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, begin to speak to hearts. Thank you, Lord. That's not the end. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of how we finish what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to end our time a little differently this morning. We haven't done this.